Okay, so you want to know what's the deal with these proposed MCTA fare changes? Everyone's talking about them, right?
Right, and honestly, it's a lot to unpack.
It really is. So we're going to break it all down for you, make it crystal clear what this means for your daily commute, your wallet, all of it.
We'll try to make it as painless as possible.
Exactly. So we've got the MCTA's proposal document right here.
It's quite the dense read.
Oh, tell me about it. But we've been digging deep into it, and there are some interesting things in there, things you might not expect.
Definitely some surprises along the way, particularly if you've been using the current fare system for a while, which I imagine most of our listeners have.
Right. And
Yeah.
I mean, the current system, it works kind of. You've got your reloadable smart card, you tap, you're good to go. But I will say, digging into this proposal really showed me that apparently cash is still king for a lot of riders.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too when I first read it. The document says almost half of MCTA riders still pay with cash, even with the smart cards.
Yeah. So that kind of makes you wonder if people are fine with using cash, why even bother changing the whole system, you know?
It all comes down to two big things: modernization and efficiency. See, the system we have now, it's called a closed loop system. Your MCTA card, it only works for MCTA and nowhere else, and that's not very efficient.
Okay, that makes sense. So how do other transit systems do it? Is there a better way?
There are actually a few different ways these fare systems can work. Let's start with the simplest: cash only. You hand the driver your fare, no fancy technology required.
Simple, I like it. Okay, what else?
Then you have what we have now, the closed loop system, dedicated card or app, only good for that specific system. Then things get interesting. You have open loop systems.
Open loop, okay, now we're talking.
This is where you can use your everyday bank card, your phone, basically anything that can do contactless payments.
Whoa, wait a minute. So you're telling me I could just tap my debit card on the bus like I do at the grocery store?
You got it.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. And it's not just limited to bank cards either.
Yeah.
Your smartphones, digital wallet, even payment apps like Cash App, those could all be in the mix.
Wow, okay, that's pretty cool. So is that what MCTA is moving towards, this whole open loop thing?
You're catching on quick. That's exactly what they're proposing. And it gets pretty interesting from here.
Okay, so open loop it is. But paint me a picture here. What does this actually look like, you know, in real life? Like I'm getting on the bus, what do I do?
So you're running late for the bus, right?
Who isn't, am I right?
Haha, exactly. But instead of digging through your bag for your MCTA card, or even worse, trying to find exact change,
I'm the worst.
you just tap your phone or your bank card, just like you do everywhere else these days. Coffee shop, grocery store, you name it. It's all about bringing public transit into the 21st century, you know, using the technology we already have in our pockets.
I can get behind that. But what
Yeah.
about those times when, like, your phone's dead or you left your wallet at home? We've all been there.
Yeah, right. And that's where the flexibility of this system comes in, because it's not just limited to bank cards. They're even talking about integrating things like Cash App.
Oh, interesting.
So you could load cash onto the app at certain stores and then use that to pay your fare. Tap and go, just like that.
Okay, now that you mention it, I have seen those tap readers on some of the newer buses around town.
See, they're ahead of the game. And here's where it gets really good for riders. This whole open loop thing ties into another big change they're proposing: fare capping.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Because I gotta say, fare capping sounds like a pretty sweet deal.
It is a sweet deal, especially if you're a frequent rider. Basically, you hit a certain fare amount, and then all your rides after that, within a certain time period, are free. So you never have to worry about spending more than a certain amount on bus fare, no matter how many trips you take.
So it's like having a built-in safety net for your wallet.
Exactly. Okay, so let's say you're having a day, right? You're running errands, going to appointments, you're all over the city.
I've been there.
And let's say the new base fare is $2, which we'll get into later. You take a couple of trips, you're already at $4.
Okay, yeah, that adds up quickly.
Right. But with fare capping, once you hit that $4, every ride after that within a 24-hour period is essentially free. You just tap and go.
Oh, wow. Okay, I see how that could really make a difference, especially for folks who rely on the bus every day,
Yeah.
like get to work and back.
Exactly. And that's where the weekly and monthly fare capping comes in. They're proposing a $20 cap for a 7-day period
That's pretty good.
and a $64 cap for a 30-day period for adult riders.
So even with a fare increase, which let's be honest, we all saw coming,
Right.
that weekly or monthly cap could save people a lot of money in the long run.
Exactly. And it gives you that peace of mind knowing exactly what your maximum out-of-pocket cost is going to be for bus fare. No surprises.
Love it when there are no surprises, especially when it comes to my wallet. Speaking of which, I think it's time we address the elephant in the room, those fare increases.
Yeah, let's rip the Band-Aid off, shall we?
All right, deep breaths, everyone. Let's talk about those fare increases.
Okay, so no easy way to say it. The base fare for adults, they're proposing bumping it up to $2 a ride.
Yeah, a 50-cent increase, it's definitely going to be an adjustment for a lot of riders.
Right.
Especially those who are taking the bus every single day.
It's understandable that people are going to feel that pinch, especially since this is the first time they're raising fares in 10 years.
That's true. 10 years is a long time. But like you said earlier, everything's gotten more expensive.
Exactly. Fuel costs, maintenance, it all adds up. And on top of just keeping the current system running, MCTA wants to make some improvements too.
Right. And those upgrades like new buses, better shelters, they don't come cheap.
They definitely don't. But think about it this way. Those improvements benefit everyone in the long run.
Okay, so new buses, better shelters, all good things. But before we get too far into the weeds there, I think it's important to zoom out a bit. How do these proposed increases compare to what other transit systems are doing, not just in our city, but across the state?
That is a really good question, and it's something I actually looked into. Because nobody wants to feel like they're getting singled out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I took a look at what other transit agencies in Pennsylvania are charging. And honestly, MCTA's proposed fares are pretty much in line with everyone else.
Okay, so it's not like they're going totally rogue here.
Nope, not at all. Everyone's dealing with the same challenges, rising costs, trying to modernize. It's a balancing act for sure.
A balancing act for sure. So we've talked about the proposed changes, the fare increases, how MCTA compares to other systems. But this isn't a done deal, right? What are the next steps here?
So here's where you, the listener, you have a voice in all of this. The proposal is going into a public comment period in October.
Public comment period. So that means?
That means you can tell MCTA what you think about all of this.
I like the sound of that.
Right. Any concerns you have, suggestions, they want to hear it all.
This is like public transit democracy in action.
Exactly. And it's important because at the end of the day, this is about how you get around your city.
It is. So how can people make their voices heard? Are we talking town hall meetings, online surveys? What's the deal?
All of the above. They're going to have public meetings. Details will be on their website, social media, all that. And they're also going to have those little signs on the buses. You know the ones.
Oh, yeah. Definitely seen those.
So keep an eye out for those in October.
And of course, we will link to all of that in our show notes so you don't have to remember it all right now. Just check those out after the show.
Perfect. This is your chance to have a say, folks. So make sure you do.
Absolutely. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here today. We talked about the switch to open loop, those fare increases, and what riders can do to make their voices heard. But as always, we like to leave you with something to think about, something to mull over on your commute home. This whole open loop thing, using your phone or your bank card as your bus pass, really got me thinking, is this the beginning of the end for traditional bus passes? Like, are we phasing those out completely? What do you think?
Wow, that is a good question. And honestly, I don't know if I have a crystal ball to see the future of bus passes, but it definitely makes you think we're already using our phones to pay for so many things. Why not public transit too, right?
Right, it's all connected.
Exactly. But there are definitely some big questions we need to be asking. How do we make sure everyone has access, even if they don't have a smartphone or Joth account?
Yeah.
And what about data privacy, all that stuff? It's a brave new world out there.
It really is. But those are conversations for another deep dive. For now, we want to hear from you. Head to the MCTA website, find out about those public meetings, and let them know what you think. Because remember, the future of public transit, it's not just up to them, it's up to all of us. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, happy riding.